Welcome to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics working in diverse fields like civics and government, the law, anthropology, and archaeology. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
We're joined in this program by Peter St. Cyr, the director of Open Access New Mexico, a nonprofit that advocates for access to online government information and provides training and tools for data-driven citizen engagement. Peter is an experienced journalist with a long history of investigating political corruption. He has been recognized for excellence by the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, the New Mexico Broadcasters Association, the Associated Press, and the Society of Professional Journalists. He has contributed stories to ABC News, Fox News, CNN, the Santa Fe Reporter, and to online news portals like NM Politics and NM In Depth. He was a co-founder of the Southwest Center for Investigative Journalism and is the former director of the New Mexico Foundation for Open Government. For the past year, he's been advocating for an Open Data Act. Peter, before we get into some of your advocacy work in terms of access to data, standards for data at the government level, I kind of want to touch on something that we discussed in one of the earlier segments, which is the commercialization of data. And I think most likely we're all familiar with the commercialization of, say, analytics data from the websites we visit, from the Google searches that we do, from the ads that we click on, all that kind of stuff. But you seem to have a concern and an interest in the commercialization of government data or citizen-owned data. So what does that actually look like? Where is that coming into play?
We would love to see the government share its data and its databases with the public. Right now, you have to jump through some hoops in order to get it. Often, you have to pay a licensing fee, which can be a barrier. And in New Mexico, you have to sign waivers that you won't use it for political purposes. But the more data that is out there, the better, because we do believe that civic societies and commercial groups and companies are best at taking the data and turning it into something that improves our lives or makes our community smarter. For instance, the Apple iPhone. It took three services, the phone, music, and the internet, and put them into the smartphone. But they also did something brilliant. They opened up the source code to developers, and they said, go forth and create applications. And now my life is better. You know, there will be those that say that, you know, people have their head in their phones way too much. That may be true, but I never miss an appointment. I can make dinner reservations and follow things that I'm interested in my life. And so we love the fact that the data can be commercialized and improve our lives.
It was interesting to me to discover that the open source movement supports the open government movement, the idea that everybody has the same standards. So if everybody's sharing their knowledge and working sort of with the same set of tools, then people are free to become very creative and entrepreneurial.
Well, and speaking of entrepreneurial, having data is the best way that businesses mitigate the risk to capital. You know, they're able to make smart plans, rational plans on where to grow. You can look at the traffic reports and the data on the busiest traffic intersection. And wouldn't you want to build your new coffee shop on the busiest traffic intersection? Or maybe you want to know, you know, where the new hospital is being built to set up your new medical group around the hospital so you can walk across the street from it. Those kind of decisions are really important. And the government literally could become an information highway where the public is using the data to inform, shape, and direct public policy. I think that the public will re-engage in policymaking when they have the data, and they will come and they will basically inform, shape, and direct public policy. And then the government will simply implement our policies. So you get on the highway at point A and you go along the, you know, the government highway to point B. And when you get off, everything at the exit is privately owned. And that is a good thing because entrepreneurs entrepreneurs and social groups have our interest at heart, and they're able to react a lot quicker and provide us tools that we need to improve our lives.
Maybe a better phrase is information plaza. I was still curious about something that you had said about the commercialization of the data. Is that where the government is trying to sell the data or make money off the fees or whatever? Or is that not a concern because it's fine if someone takes public data and then leverages it for their own purposes? Wrapped it up in, say, a paid app that lets me make decisions based on traffic flow or...
I would say that is where we would like to see it go and to build a solutions economy. You know, the government right now does have in New Mexico a perspective that they own the data and they want to commercialize it to recoup their cost of collecting it. But that just doesn't set well with me because we're already paying them to collect the information. Once they collect the information, it should be out there for anyone that wants to use it to create, whether it's a paid app or a social app for a nonprofit, and they're going to do a better job of getting the information out to be used than the government.
So going back to the iPhone analogy, when they opened up that source code, it was coherent. It's internally consistent. So is the government creating its data the same way? Is there sort of a single platform or format that generates accessible and usable data sets?
Good news, yes, there are some standards being set at the federal level, especially. It started with Obama and it's continued. President Trump signed a Data Act in 2019, this year in January, and that Data Act is a continuation of some policies that forced government entities to present its budget data in a standard way so that can be used to look at the analytics of budgets across every agency in the same way. So we have that example at the federal level. We have that example in other states like Florida and California. It's being done, and we need to bring it to New Mexico because right now, formats are often proprietary. There's a rule in the Inspection of Public Records Act that says you are entitled to any of the documents that they have produced or they have on hand. You cannot request the government to create a list or to create a document that they do not have. During the previous administration, the Department of Information Technology adopted a really bad policy and attitude when they didn't want to provide data to journalists or citizens. They would give it to them in the proprietary format of Oracle or SAS or some of these other big database companies that provide really exceptional database programs. The problem is their output is proprietary, and you do not have $20,000
to buy an Oracle program. To buy an Oracle Enterprise product just to take a look at this data. Yeah.
So 38 other states have adopted an open standard format that requires them to output it in a format that you can read, whether it be a CSV file, an Excel file, a Word document, or a text file. They can save these database inquiries simply and output it in a format that can be read by the public without having to spend $20,000 for the program.
So you are advocating for this at the legislative level in New Mexico for both the access to the data to begin with and the records.
But we want a data policy, which we're going to call a Data Act. And this session, we're asking lawmakers to start the process and require agencies to at least index the data that they are collecting. A lot of times, government agencies don't even know all the data that they have. So if we can get an index of the data that's collected, then we can start to build a catalog. We'll be able to start to say, this is data that we want to put out first on the internet, and this is a priority. And it's not an easy task. And then we want the Data Act to be codified into statute so that it will survive the shifting political winds of administrations. And by having a data act in law, then we won't forfeit our rights and have to fight the same battles over and over again.
And you would like to see that statutory solution encompass both the access and the standards.
Right.
So that even if I do have access to all this data, I'm not just getting a bunch of proprietary data that it's essentially
useless
to me, right, as either an individual or potentially a developer if I wanted to do something interesting with this data.
It's key, and you know, we've adopted the language from the Uniform Commerce Act that is used in all these other states, and simply, you know, put in New Mexico and given it to them as easy as adopting what all these other states have already done ahead of New Mexico.
So you've mentioned some of these other states. You say you're doing a good job of this. So without even necessarily getting into every little detail of a particular state, what does it look like in a practical, concrete sense if I'm in a state or dealing with, say, a federal agency where this is being done properly? Does that mean if I were in, I think you mentioned Florida, California. So if I were in one of those states, I could just get onto some state website?
In Washington State, they have, you know, washingtondata.gov, and you go on there and there's a catalog and you can say nursing homes and it will bring up all the data that's collected on nursing homes, or you could put in state parks and it will bring up everything. And the other thing that they are doing that is good besides just the data is they're requiring government agencies and program managers to bring the analytics and the metrics that they record with data for budget meetings. In other words, we gave you $100 million this year, and when you come back, a lot of times they'll say, well, you gave us $100 million last year. We want a 3% increase. Give us $103 million this year. And if I'm a budget manager in the legislature, I say, no. Tell me and show me the data that reveals the impact of the $100 million we gave you last year. I want to make rational decisions and make sure that the analytics show some sort of impact that's positive. We want our taxpayer money to make an impact. We want it to be spent well. Bernalillo County is doing a great job. They have their budget online. The commissioners set five-year goals. The departments come up with programs to help them reach those goals in 5 years. And then the budget comes from the program's requirements, you know. And now you can go online to the budget and see how taxpayer money come in, see how it goes through the budget, how it's spent, and how it's meeting the goals. And now, instead of saying, oh, the government just wastes taxpayer money, we're able to say, no, look at how it's coming in. Look how it's being spent, and look how it's helping to achieve goals. And that is the ultimate goal of any kind of open government advocate.
That actually is really apropos, because it brings us to a question that has come up, which is the data itself, is it trustworthy? We've talked a lot about how access to this data is important, that access to this data then allows us to make evidence-based decisions.
If I may interrupt,
yeah,
I think also whether the analysis of the data is trustworthy. And I'm thinking specifically of voter rolls and who gets removed from the rolls. So we've seen a lot of cases where people who have the same name or get removed and they shouldn't be.
One of the things that you're talking about, Peter, is in a sense the democratization of the analysis of the data. Is this data more trustworthy? Is there a perception that what I would call, and I'm almost wanting to use the word civic data rather than private data. Is it more trustworthy? Do people think of it as more trustworthy? Both the perception and the reality matter. We could put all this data online, but if there's a concern that it's all nonsense, then,
well,
you know, garbage in, garbage out.
You've hit the nail on the head right there, and it's a mixed bag, really.
Yeah.
But I would say let's start, and we can improve as we go along. All the data sets I've gotten have had to be cleaned up one way or the other. I would rather have access to data that needs to be cleaned up in order to give them feedback and say, hey, you know, you need to do it this way or that way, or look at this, and we're all going to learn from each other. But let's at least start.
So in a sense, having more eyes on it could even help with finding places where the data is possibly inaccurate if you've got people that are analyzing it or looking for patterns where something didn't get collected, or like Ellen was saying, where these voter rolls can't possibly be good.
If the analysis is replicable, I mean, I think that's the question. Am I going to come away with the same sense of what this is all about as you do if we both crunch the same data?
I would argue that at least the data that everyone starts with is equal, and that the perspectives of that data could be different, but let's at least sing off of the same song sheet.
I would love to sing off the same song sheet. I think that's a really nice place to end this segment. Thank you so much, Peter. If you want to learn more about the work Open Access New Mexico is doing, visit their Facebook page, follow them on Twitter at OpenAccessNM, or visit their website at OpenAccessNM.org. Augmented Humanity is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council, produced in partnership with KUNM-FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, and we've had production assistance by Tristan Klum.